Hello, this is Chris Nelson from evolveconsciousness.org. I will be reading the article, Occulting and Encrypting Reality Through Word Magic, Language and Reality Part 3. The previous articles, Part 1 and 2, have mentioned the importance of thought in perceiving, conceiving, understanding, and navigating reality. This especially relates to the existence of those who use their consciousness and thought to manipulate our consciousness and get us to engage in behavior they want us to. Content is 3.1, think and verify to prevent from being fooled, 3.2, word influence, complexity and distraction, 3.3, definitions, confusion and chaos, 3.4, restrict imagination of possibilities, 3.5, limit words, occult reality, 3.6, reality, unreality and magic, 3.7, the power of definition, master of a name. Section 3.1, think and verify to prevent from being fooled. Reading and getting new ideas from what is read is input and induction of grammar and can lead to greater induction, intuition, and insight. Inspiration from reading is good, but do something with the inspiration garnered from what is read or heard or seen. Think about the material and contemplate its significance and importance in reality, the definition, meaning, and purpose. Here's a quote from the Trivium Study Guide, page 16. What's more, what happens if we do not have a firewall, a virus scan, a spam filter running at all times? We lose our choice. As it is in these three steps wherein we evaluate and assert our decisions, it is in the turning off of our awareness through the false creation or attribution of trust whereby we become controlled. And that's page 16 of the Trivium Study Guide by Gene Odening, edited by Tony Myers. Continuing, do not simply let information sink in. Constantly reflect on what you are reading as you read. Think about it. Contemplate. Write notes at the moment of thinking, because you probably won't remember those specific thoughts later. That moment of correspondence of reality with what you are inputting as knowledge or of insight is related to the specific input of data you have at the time of reading, watching, or listening to something. It is unique, and you may not remember it for a while. Even if it is spontaneous from doing things like cooking, and thoughts come to mind about certain topics, write it down and think about it more. Or think about it later since it is written down, and that way you don't lose track of things that you can develop upon in understanding. It is stepwise, in level and degrees, with prerequisites in order to gain some knowledge. Truth takes time. Here is a video clip from Richard Feynman on the importance of time in thinking.
To do the kind of high, real good physics work, you do need absolute solid lengths of time. It's when you're putting ideas together, which are vague and hard to remember, it's very much, and I get this feeling very much, like building those houses of cards, where you're putting together, on each of the cards is shaky. And if you forget one of them, the whole thing collapses again. You don't know how you got there, and you have to build them up again. And if you're interrupted and kind of forget half the idea of how the cards went together, your cards being different type parts of the ideas of different kinds that have to go together to build up the idea, the main point. You put this stuff together, it's quite a tower, and it's easy to slip. That needs a lot of concentrating. That is solid time to think. And if you've got a job in administrating anything like that, then you don't have the solid time.
So Richard Feynman is talking about the importance of thinking, not just in physics, but in any conceptualizing of ideas, where you're abstracting, which is what he was talking about, building ideas upon ideas in the house of cards. And these are hard concepts to keep in mind, so you need to keep working at them and keep them in your mind, or else they slip away, they fade in your mind, and then a month later you come back, but the vividness of what you were recalling at the time in the imaginal phantasms of your mind, all those images, well, they fade away, and then you got to recreate them and rebuild the momentum. So thinking and time are very much linked. Continuing with the article, Information provided to someone without their thinking about it themselves and simply accepting it as truth will result in them not thinking things through for themselves and blindly accepting the validity of information from whoever is identified with, admired, epitomized, idolized, exalted, etc., and giving out the information. One needs to know how to think properly in order to effectively use the faculties of thinking, and not simply accept what to think from a false, misplaced sense of trust. The result of having your thinking done for you is that your actions will result from those accepted thoughts about certain information, and so your actions are not really your own, even though you are acting them out. They do not truly arise from you. They are someone else's thoughts and actions manifesting what they want into reality. There are those dark occultists who are all too willing to provide people with information that they construe and spin as the, quote, truth for others to accept, and by proxy, to behave, act, and think in accordance with someone else's desires and wishes. Now, that's the basic magic of reality that we live in. You don't need any hocus-pocus standard Harry Potter magic stuff and wands. This is real magic here. This is the magic of manipulating people with words, which is the basic, most basic form of magic there is, because the words reflect the language we use to represent reality, so the words represent reality. Unquestioning, uncritical input of data can let in falsity that gets stored as factual truth in memory, a memory corruption. Processing information is required to verify if it represents reality accurately or not. Without thought on the data, there is no choice but simply blind acceptance of the data input. Freedom comes with knowledge of ourselves and the reality we are in, especially the knowledge that has been suppressed with counter mechanisms to not look into this. Learning is how we acquire knowledge. Thought is the key to decrypting the occulted reality by learning about occulted knowledge. Hiding knowledge removes it from our available information data pool to collect and encrypts our understanding of reality. To actively learn about deeper aspects of our consciousness, psychology, behavior, and the world we live in is to be unlocking ourselves, our own minds, and the reality we live in. Without proper thought on a message being conceived, it simply goes in as the sender conveyed it, possibly as a virus, spam, or other corruption to have you accept falsity. And this is just stimulus response, where you don't have the processing to verify something. And then the response of that stimulus is you end up living the way of life of those stimulating you with certain information. You end up living their program. The process of occulting and hiding reality is to obfuscate and disfigure the truth. Man can then rationalize much behavior in his subjective multiverse unreality of inner consciousness and harm many beings in the objective reality. So I have the subjective multiverse hyperlinked to a previous article I did explaining the subjective and the objective realities we have. Anyways, go look into that. I'm not talking about it here. Some people use knowledge to manipulate the way others see reality. The rest of us need to learn how this process of learning works, how the mind and consciousness work, how thinking functions, etc., to turn the implicit intuitive learning ability into a more consciously aware explicit tool for properly conceiving of ourselves and reality. Restriction of time from putting our attention on the process of thinking and learning, on reflection and contemplation, leads to a tacit acceptance of whatever feels good or sounds good to us, which is usually a reinforcement of what we already have been told to accept as the, quote, truth that creates our perception of reality. The process of critical thinking about the information we receive cannot simply be taught. I'm going to reread that. The process of critically thinking about the information we receive cannot simply be taught. It is a process of thinking itself and needs to be engaged in by developing thought itself. The basic operation of apprehension of reality is the core of the trivium. grammar and logic, with the ability to express it to others in rhetoric. These are observing, thinking, and acting. Being curious, doubting, and asking questions, and verifying answers are part of thinking critically. The trivium explains how we can understand to think for ourselves and not be led into falsity because we are lazy thinkers. Simply reading is not thinking critically. Simply reading without the development of how to think properly is indoctrination. There is a process to how we think, and it can be better understood in order to help free us from occulted forms of slavery. Accepting thoughts and beliefs from others without learning about how to discern reality will lead to devolution. Occulting reality can be looked at through terminology like story editing, narrative management, but it is all perception manipulation or perception management of how we see and understand reality. Section 3.2, Word Influence, Complexity, and Distraction. Simply by speaking, you influence the mind of others. And that's why, right above, when I said, simply reading without the development of how to think properly is indoctrination. So simply by other people speaking and providing a stimulus for you, it goes into your mind, and it can be readily become part of who you are because it indoctrinates you, because you are not thinking about what you were receiving as stimulus. So, simply by speaking, you influence the mind of others. Tell them things they want to hear, and you will be able to influence them more, and even manipulate them if that is what you seek. Tell them things they don't want to hear, and they will likely reject your influence. Sorcery will influence others by knowing the rhetoric to get a particular message accepted for people to do what they want. It may take successive messages to be accepted for the desired behavior to manifest, and that's where gradualism comes in. If you can't control what people think directly, control what they have available to think about, which is to restrict information, give them other things to think about that are less important, but more fun, more comforting, more convenient, and more pleasurable, and those are the distractions. Flood the market with so much bullshit that they don't know up from down and only want to be left alone to do their own thing and be happy in their lives, free from the mental stress of figuring out what is happening in the world. Don't hassle me. Leave me alone. And that's what pretty much everyone's in the mindset of when it comes to serious issues of truth and morality and learning and thinking for yourself and developing the logical capacity to think as a true human being in higher order evolved consciousness. Forget that. People don't want to do that. Leave me alone to my pleasures and my convenience and my comfort and my fun and having a joyful time in life. Well, everyone loves that. No one wants to get serious and sacrifice and serve the responsibility to truth and morality. Anyways, continuing. The more complex things get, the more difficult it is for people to see what is actually occurring, and the more difficult it is to understand how things can be changed away from the madness it currently is. Most likely, the complexity and unwillingness to learn developed from learned helplessness. Sorry, I'm going to reread that. Most likely, the complexity and unwillingness to learn developed from learned helplessness. Will result in a perpetuation of the system until it collapses from its own falsity that cannot be managed and recycled anymore. At some point, it collapses for good and cannot be resuscitated. So as you create more complexity and more people want to be left alone, well, the more irresponsibility that you're created and the more unwillingness to learn is developed, and that increases the learned helplessness, where people feel helpless and just let things continue. The system perpetuates and eventually leads to its own collapse because it can't be recycled anymore. It's only so much bullshit that you can recycle, so many bubbles you can keep inflating and popping and inflating and popping. Eventually everything will implode. Continuing, too much information can be a serious distraction and cause confusion as well, since many think there is too much to bother going through. Information overload is an actual problem. People will turn off input because it is too much for them to process, since they have been trained to not think, to not process information well. There are distractions in alternative information sources as well. The quality knowledge about morality and consciousness that allows us to find ourselves is not in quantity in the information people are sharing and talking about. People are mostly into pleasure, gratification, enjoyment, amusement, and other distractions from reality that matters, even in the so-called alternative media. Distractions work as a winding road to finding truth as well, preventing access by diverting your attention from learning quality knowledge by feeding you garbage. Section 3.3, Definitions, Confusion, and Chaos. You can see how this relates to the previous topic. Confusion is the second phase of fear that leads to chaos in the natural law expressions chart made by Mark Passio. Confusion follows ignorance. Confusion is a mechanism to aid in mind control. I have a little infographic of Mark Passio's natural law expressions. And this is just to show how the end result of chaos comes from control, which comes from confusion, which comes from ignorance and the fear of truth. So that should be explained here, I believe. Words create our secondary reality, reality level 2. Level 1 is manifested reality. Level 2 is perceptual understanding of reality. They define how we conceive of what is around us. Manipulate words and you manipulate the mind and reality perception. If someone does not understand the proper meaning and definition of a conceptual word symbol, that will create confusion with respect to an aspect of reality. This confusion creates disorder and disharmony from truth towards chaos in one's life, however great or small, relative to the importance of the particular word symbol. An example is a semantic misunderstanding that creates a disparity in understanding and communicating reality, leading to confusion and conflict in those who cannot resolve their confusion with truth. Those who cannot find the truth to resolve their confusion may end up in conflict in trying to control their cognitive dissonance and reality to conform to their erroneous conceptions. Reality negotiation takes place and they reframe the reality in conformity with their existing self-image and worldview to maintain the delusional self. Reality negotiation takes place and they reference. Wow, that's bad. One more time, third time's a charm. Reality negotiation takes place and they reframe the reality in conformity with their existing self-image and worldview to maintain the self-delusion and unreality. A basic example is of a lecture being given by someone who uses a word many are not familiar with. At that point, the introduction of that word grammar that people do not understand tripped them up and prevented them from continuing to properly understand the lecture being presented. They develop confusion and frustration from this ignorance. So this is just a basic example. Other concepts are built from previous concepts, and lack of definition in the previous foundational concepts will create an inability to understand later ones properly. Hence, confusion develops, and ultimately, chaos in the internal framework of understanding reality, because a term used to create a conceptual framework is not known properly, or not known at all. That's where knowledge creates an understanding of reality, which will bring clarity and sovereignty internally and anarchy externally, which is true freedom. And when you have confusion, well, that's going to lead you possibly to seek out control. The more confused parts you have in your self-image and worldview, the more likely you are to seek external control for that internal confusion. So seek truth, understand the true meaning and definition of words. They shape our conceptual understanding of reality and can be used for mind control. Section 3.4, restrict imagination of possibilities. Why do you think that Truman has never come close to discovering the true nature of his world until now? We accept the reality of the world with which we are presented. It is as simple as that. And that's a quote from The Truman Show, saying, why is he not discovering the true nature of the world? And the answer is, we accept the reality of the world with which we are presented. So when you don't dig into it more, when you don't process and think about it more, just accepting what's presented to you in a stimulus, and then your response is a reflection of the stimulus provided to you, which indoctrinates you with a program of living. And then you live out the program of behaviors that they want you to live out and engage in, rather than what is actually true, right, and good. Whatever the society we live in, it creates a subjective overlay of secondary reality for us to base our way of living upon. We accept the way of life, and everything in that is a normalized acceptability. We accept the way of life, and everything in that... We accept the way of life, and everything in it that is a normalized acceptability is accepted by everyone as part of the reality we live in and perpetuate. Our ability to envision, to see with our imagination, is restricted. Understanding reality also relates to the degree of imagination we can have. The more we are aware of, the more we can imagine. If we restrict language, we also restrict imagination of possibilities. Our worldview will be limited to the vocabulary we use to describe it, and the higher order constructs of reality, the depth that we cannot see with mere five senses, will not be as easily penetrated by our consciousness as we will accept what we see. Then reality occurs and we deny it. We deny truth because our preconceptions about reality have been constructed to limit our imagination of possibilities, restricting what we can actually see for what it actually is, and are therefore blinded from seeing reality for what it is. Things that happen, truth, is therefore impossible for us in this case, because our existing construct of reality does not permit such possibilities from even existing. There is no true thought involved, merely recall from memory and conditioning as a substitute for real thought about reality. This is going from stimulus to automated response without the required component of thought for true freedom of mind to be had. Mental slavery is when we don't think things through objectively. The power of thinking is what allows us to free ourselves from the constraints and conditioning we perpetuate. Even when many people eyewitness an event, or there is a lot of supporting evidence, some people will simply not acknowledge the possibility that it may be true, and what they previously and currently consider as the truth of reality may be false or erroneous. Acknowledging something that is said to not be is to doubt the foundation of your current conception of reality. And sometimes this foundation of belief for what is possible about what exists is used as a basis for our identity itself. Many people are all about keeping up appearances, the facade, maintain the illusion of, quote, beauty, of, quote, rightness, and, quote, correctness on the outside, while not dealing with the substantive current being they are choosing to be and what they do that is still corrupted and wrong. So I'm talking about is the false self, the false the self-image, worldview construct that we have. When we accept something as impossible, as not being possible to be, and then other people tell us that it's happening, it can break our sense of self and our worldview, our sense of reality, our perception of reality. I've talked about it in other parts and other articles, where if you're attacking a lie trying to destroy a lie. Many people hold on to lies and use them as basis for their ego personality identity constructs. And so to attempt to destroy a lie someone is attached to, for them, it's an attempt to destroy themselves. It's like you're attacking them. So that's, this paragraph partly dealt with attachment and identity, which I've dealt with in other articles. And we'll deal with in the future as well in more detail. A model citizen will unconditionally accept what the society considers, quote, right. This is creating a psychopathic society through incrementally conditioning evil as good. Make evil action a good action, and anyone doing evil will think it is a, quote, good, and be fine and happy with themselves as well. This process takes time. This can be seen in fiction, such as the movie The Giver. Similarly, as truth takes time to develop from one step to the other, falsity also takes time to become conditioned into people as part of normalized acceptability for behavior. People won't accept evil in their normal freedom of living, no matter how much control you impose upon them physically. Those born into slavery don't know freedom as fully and are already indoctrinated into enslavement. In order to get people to accept evil as good, wrong as right, consciousness needs to be manipulated and controlled. Mind and heart control. When you get the pre-existing conceptions of reality, of right, of good, altered with falsity, wrong, evil, unreality, then you can direct people away from the existing level of behavior they are at and further degenerate them into evil actions. The freedom of mind, thought, needs to be restricted in order to limit accurate conceptual frameworks from being developed. Movies like The Giver illustrate this dystopic control as well. There are corruptors among us, in addition to the pervasive, overarching, systemic program of falsity that pervades our lives. Psychopaths seek to turn others into forms of themselves in order to promote the continuance of evil. They seek to corrupt those who are not corrupted, to corrupt the innocent. A false order is maintained through control of limiting thought and imagination, and keeping people accepting the current, quote, order, the current way things are. Only the free will to do right and live morally will create true order, first in ourselves, to overcome evil. We must have the capacity for thought developed, for proper conception of right and wrong, good and evil, in order to distinguish one from the other. Section 3.5. Limit words, occult reality. Words help to create our secondary reality. Reality level 1. Words help to create our secondary reality. Reality level 2. Level 1 is manifested reality. Level 2 is perceptual understanding of life. They define how we conceive of what is around us. Manipulate words, and you manipulate the mind and the perception of reality from the images those symbols invoke about reality. Why was a word created? To reference some particular aspect of reality. It is a new word from thin air, or is a composite of existing words from different lexicons that combine to create this new meaning. The word was created to convey an aspect of reality or to assist in expressing aspects of reality. The word does not have an arbitrary meaning once it is imbued with definition. The symbol, however, is arbitrary and can be anything, but the meaning is specific to a part of reality. Once a word is chosen, it is imbued with the power of meaning and definition for an aspect of reality. Languages are symbols to represent reality. Realities expressed in language can be of things existing in the external world or of things existing in the internal world. And if you read the multiverse subjective reality and the objective reality, which is what I'm talking about, reality level 1, level 2, you'll understand more of what I'm talking about. External reality and internal reality. Some languages define things, others don't, and have unique words. Anyone can invent a language, a symbol, and associate sound to it. Any phonetic can be associated to any symbol. A symbol in one encryption can mean something else in another encryption system. Meaning represents something that exists, that is identified and defined with reference in some way to the objective reality for it to be expressed through. The symbol is arbitrary, but is chosen to represent a specific meaning. So one encryption to another encryption system, as I've explained in other parts, briefly in part one and more in metaphysics and reality, that all languages are basic encryption systems. So if you don't know a language, people who communicate in a language are going to be encrypting information that you won't have access to because you don't understand what they're talking about. So the next part is encryption. This is a subpart of limit words and occult reality. I have an infographic made encrypting reality. So from reality, where we get our grammar and knowledge from, you can apply encryption. So you remove data by occulting it so people can't see or read it. And that's to hide it. You remove it from access. So that restricts information when you remove it from access. And then you spread what is available to know according to that restricted information. So people don't get all of the data bits, all of the information available in the data pool or the data set to build a proper database of their own to understand reality. The information being provided is limited. It's restricted. And what happens is you get fooled by this magic, the spell on your mind of these specific word manipulations and restrictions and reality. So then you accept unreality as reality. And that's how the encryption of reality basically goes. And that's why the trivium is important. And the next part, part four, will have the negative aspects of the trivium. It won't be talking about encryption, but encryption is part of that. One of the mechanisms they use in this part three, where occulting and encrypting reality is done through a knowledge of what I call the dark trivium, the negative trivium, where they manipulate us with that knowledge. And this is how they do it. Well, one part, one way of they do it is they limit words, restrict our available reference, the symbolic references to reality, which are represented through the knowledge of grammar. And that's what the words are. So you limit that, you limit understanding of reality, in essence. To continue, all languages are basic encryptions for communication. While at the same time facilitating communication, it is only comprehensible to those who know it. Anyone who does not know the particular language or symbols used to convey a meaning will not be able to understand what is being said. That is the nature of symbols. We can reference anything in reality by actually pointing to it. That's ostensive. You ostensibly point to something. But when we use a symbol to reference the object in reality, we need to have a common understanding of the symbol, or else nothing is being communicated, since there are no common terms of reference to reality. Compared to complex cryptography, language is a pretty open system meant to convey meaning to people if they adopt that symbolic reference system of language. Languages are open source for the most part, with anyone being able to learn from them. Cryptography is secrecy and is intended for the least amount of people to receive the message. This is the default nature of symbols, especially those symbols not taught as part of any structured language. They are images to represent certain things, and people are not taught what these general symbols mean. People are only taught the specific specific grammar of their language, but not how language itself is structured and created to itself represent reality, which is its purpose in the first place, to communicate about what exists, reality. Etymology is to know the meaning of symbols as far back as we can trace them in history, as they were intended to mean, and as they were imbued with meaning. These symbols themselves trace back to reality to represent aspects of being, metaphysics, in reality. Reality itself is represented in symbols. To know the meaning of a word is to know what it represents in reality. We could name any part of reality anything we want, but we would have to create a new language. Existing languages already have definition with meaning imbued into it. We cannot simply redefine words. Attempts to do so can create confusion with the use of the same term to represent reality differently. To go back to the etymological root and learn the true meaning of a word is to establish firm grounding between the symbols we use and the reality they represent. Conventions from society do sometimes impose altered meaning on the words to change what they originally mean. It is true that people using the same word to refer to the same thing will have a common understanding of what they are referring to, but the original meaning and power of the word is lost to them. They are using it in a different and altered way than it was originally created and imbued with meaning to convey. This creates an alteration in the descriptive capability of reality. This creates an alteration in the descriptive capabilities of reality. So that's important to understand. The alteration can be to improve the detail and clarity of a definition, but can also be to distort and obfuscate the true power of the name to reference reality and understand reality correctly. It's also important to understand. You can alter it and improve upon it, but most of the time, sometimes, like in the words anarchy, I found recently in the word psychopathy, certain words are altered and it changes their meaning. And people reference them in a way in reality, but it doesn't really mean that all the time, because the original meaning has changed. Anyways, people use anarchy and they think chaos, but really it's actually freedom. So things are really confused when you obfuscate the original definition. That's why when you go to etymology, you can get to the original source meaning. And I find you bring more clarity and power of understanding the original imbued meaning of the word and how it actually referenced reality versus how we're using it even in general in the English language or even colloquially in localized areas, geographical locations, where it has altered meanings imposed by conventions of society. And then who's imposing these conventions? And that's where you can look at who had the power to write. I'm not sure if I get into that later or if I did it. Yeah, I think that's in this article. Anyways, I'm getting ahead of myself since this has already been written. But more interesting stuff on occulting reality to come, if I recall correctly. To continue, etymology shows the true original meaning, purpose, and intention of a word, which can show how a word has been altered to conform to the conventional imposition or newspeak meaning. To control perception of reality, the social engineering control of the mind. Etymology is not foolproof, but it's better than blindly accepting the definition from conventional society. Those who write history create history, invent reality, and the same is true with any book that people use as an axiomatic foundation for understanding reality. Dictionaries. If they use the altered form that has been bred into convention through imposition of clever social engineering, an aspect of reality becomes veiled, meaning occulted, hidden. It's veiled, you don't see it anymore. You don't see it as clearly, it's obfuscated. Euphemisms, things like that, are also tools to cloud our perception of reality. You can't rely on etymology to automatically tell you the meaning, like a dictionary either. Sometimes there is more to the story. How far back does the meaning go? Etymology can show you a more accurate source for the meaning a word as it was created than it was later modified to mean in order to obfuscate its original meaning and true power in understanding reality through language. Sometimes words have dual meaning as well, that seem to be opposed. I've gone into that in compassion and empathy and sympathy and relating to bearing and suffering evil. And there's a negative way to bear evil where you don't do anything about it, and you just tolerate it. And then there's a positive way to bear evil where you have to learn about all the evil and you have to suffer it and have compassion in order to combat it, to know it's there and send it back and eliminate it. And that's an interesting article if you want to read. I think that's Bearing Good and Evil. That's the name of the article. There was a big series I did that followed series and contemplations on falsity and evil and good and evil. So there's a whole, probably like 6-7 or something, pretty good articles on good and evil if you're not familiar with that. You can search with the tag good or evil. I'm sure you'll find them all. They're all listed in my main work, I think, as well. To continue, I think I lost my position. One moment. If you just use a word as you want, or as social convention has dictated, then what is the point in the true original meaning of a word? We can't just refer part of reality to any word symbol without any consideration for the original meaning it conveyed about reality. In doing so, we lose the original representation of reality in place of this new definition of reality. Maybe it's for the better, but maybe it's for the worse. The latter is the case most of the time, and that's where we get newspeak, because the new definition replaces the old, but it actually limits your understanding of reality. The second subsection of limit words, called reality, is limitation. The more words exist to describe specific aspects of reality, the better, more easily, we can understand reality with symbols. The less words, then the more ambiguous the definition, with multiple meanings applying for one word, because not enough words exist for specific references to reality. Here's a quote by Philip K. Dick. The basic tool for the manipulation of reality is the manipulation of words. If you can control the meaning of words, you can control the people who must use the words. If you impose limitations on the amount of words people have in their vocabulary, you essentially restrict their ability to describe reality in more specific and detailed ways in order to understand it more deeply. We are dumbed down through restriction in consciousness by this specific method. I recall high school and reading books while others did not, and I would speak with certain vocabulary that others did not recognize simply because I enlarged my understanding of reality through more complex words. They in turn viewed me as, quote, smart and, quote, intelligent, which I was in normal standards as well, being good in math. But the expansion of the vocabulary can have direct impacts on the ability to expand the mind. If you limit vocabulary, you limit your mind. Limit words, limit the definition of reality, limit the ability to identify reality accurately, and you limit understanding of reality. I'll just read that again. Limit words, limit the definition of reality, limit the ability to identify reality accurately, and you limit understanding reality. So that's how it works. And that's part of vocabulary. Vocabulary is the amount of words you have to use to describe the reality around you. Words are important. Language is important. I remember being told by someone I was trying to do something and build a future with, a New Ager, that, you know, logic was limited. Whenever I would explain how they were being fallacious or wrong, they'd say, oh, they would just dismiss it as logic is flawed, or logic is limited, and language is limited, and all these silly excuses because they didn't understand how they were themselves limited by their own ignorance, because they didn't want to learn. Anyways, to continue with the article, we have a quote here by Ludwig Wittgenstein. The limits of my language mean the limits of my world. So if you understand this in reference to what I'm talking about in our understanding of the world we can describe in order to navigate it, because you perceive and conceive and understand so that you can navigate the world reality correctly. If you want more information on that, check out Dualistic Conceptual Framework. That's a presentation with infographics on the importance of truth and understanding how dualities actually work to conceive of reality. Because most of reality is in a dualistic contrast. In order for us to see one thing from the other, there's contrast. That's just how the way things function. It doesn't mean that all dualistic conceptual frameworks are anyways, go check out the, I'm not gonna start explaining it. Not all dualistic conceptual frameworks are the same. They're not all polarized in one, in either or. There's different ways of conceiving dualities. And people get stuck in one way. So that's another important aspect of understanding how to think and conceive of reality. To continue with the article, this is the point behind Newspeak in Orwell's 1984, to obfuscate and confuse the meaning of reality and limit the degree of conception we can invoke from it, thereby limiting consciousness and keeping it under control. Mind control. Here is a segment of the 1984 Newspeak discussion between two characters.
We're not only inventing words, we're destroying them. Scores of them, thousands every day. And it's beautiful.
Beautiful?
With simplicity out, of course. Oh, for one example, just take the word good. If you have that, what need for the word bad? Ungood does just as well. Then instead of a string of vague extra words like excellent and splendid, you have plus good, or stronger still, double plus good. In Newspeak, the whole notion of goodness and badness will be covered by six words. In reality, by only one word. Don't you see the beauty of that, Winston? It was B.B.'s idea originally, of course.
Oh, I do my best to keep up with the published changes.
Do you? Mm-hmm. Yes, I've read some of those little pieces you've had published in the Times occasionally.
In Newspeak, too.
Good in their way, but only translations. You are still thinking in old speak, clinging to useless shades of meaning.
To be or not to be?
The verb to be is abolished in the 11th edition.
That is the question.
Shakespeare.
Whether 'tis nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, or to I forget how it goes.
Doesn't matter. By the year 2050, the whole literature of the past will have gone. Milton, Byron, Chaucer, they'll exist only in Newspeak forms. As they are, they can only do us harm.
Harm?
By confusing us. Oh. You know the Newspeak phrase, old thinkers unbelly feel ink socken. Old thinkers, you're
now
one. Unbelly feel, lack a deep emotional understanding of, ink sock.
English socialism.
I meaning it's completely lost. You see, you can't translate Newspeak. Even the party slogans are changing. How will you say freedom is slavery when the word freedom no longer exists?
Oh, I'm sorry. Move my chair if I need your way.
I see, Winston, this is a point. Winston, the whole aim of Newspeak is to narrow the range of thought.
To narrow the range of thought?
In the end, we'll make thought crime literally impossible because there'll be no words to express it.
That's excellent, but even now there's no excuse for thought crime. It's just a question of reality control, of self-discipline.
When Newspeak is perfect and compulsory, there won't be the need even for that. The revolution will be complete. Have you ever thought? In 70 years or so, there'll be nobody alive who could possibly understand this conversation we're having.
So, you narrow the range of thought, and then you can't express thoughts beyond those limitations. What is the vocabulary people normally use to talk about things? What are they even talking about? People can seem to talk about something, but actually talk about nothing. They talk about appearances instead of substance that matters. Facts are useless in themselves. The meaning that is derived from the facts is what matters. Everything simply exists. The meaning that is derived from the facts is what matters. Everything simply existing is simply existing, a fact. Our ability to correspond and correlate the various aspects of reality is what allows us to develop deeper understanding of reality and ourselves. We can extract the essence of being from things from within our consciousness and attribute meaning to them as distinct parts of existence. Reality has many things in it. Those who do not understand the meaning of those things, those people who do not understand the meaning of those things, do not understand reality as much as others who do understand meaning in things. If you want to come to know and understand reality better, know and understand the language you use to describe reality. Know the common base of the words we use to communicate, so we can be on the same page of understanding our terms. We have some powers when it comes to reality. Reality defining versus reality creating. We have the power to abstract from the objects in reality and find meaning. This would be reality defining. We also have the power to manufacture artificially created objects from what pre-exists in nature. That would be reality creating. Delusions of consciousness bring us to create great evil in attempts to control and dominate whatever pre-exists in the world that is not ourself, or as we identify ourselves with in other things. As we think we can take ownership of anything that exists, any living being, even others exactly like us, human animals. And that's human slavery. Then you can do whatever you want to others. A word is a word. You can't just take any word and apply it to anything in reality. You could only do that if you invented the word, but you can't do that to a word that already exists, already has a definition and meaning, and already points to something in reality. Even those who create a new word in a language now, it is always based in some root derivative. Some people want to alter the meaning of words and get us to accept altered definitions with more limited, restricted, or controlled understanding of reality through specific word usage, which is our vocabulary. If we only use a certain limited number of words to communicate about reality, naturally our understanding of reality will also be limited. Our consciousness will not evolve, and we will remain restricted from higher order thought capabilities. Because how can you conceive of higher order abstract constructs and build upon them and join them and build upon more if you're limited in even your ability to conceive of reality, because the words you use to describe reality are so limited? So the next section, 3.6, reality, unreality, and magic. Reality exists, unreality does not. The unreality of the imagination of our consciousness can become manifested into the reality that does exist. The chair in consciousness can be made from an existing tree. The unreality of the imaginal realm can manifest as reality in a positive sense. Unreality can also manifest to create an unreal reality, an illusory reality, which is ultimately a negative for us, because living in a fantasy is not a good thing. We can accept the conceptual beliefs others suggest and influence us with through convincing sophistry, and we can agree to ally and unite under this common idea within our consciousness created from someone's imaginal realm. Money is created, government is created, religion is created, etc. Money is nothing but paper and belief in a value. Government is nothing but people assuming power that others give them, but the government doesn't exist anywhere as an actual thing. It is only an aggregate grouping of individuals. Religion is the same thing as government. These are concepts in consciousness that are given power and manifested into reality as unreal reality from the unreality of the imaginal realm. We create these illusions in our mind. They are not self-existing substances. They are products of sorcery invented in the disconnection from reality, truth, and morality. These products were sold to the consciousness of people. These products are spells cast onto the mind through clever symbolic vibratory magic, speaking words of a language or other symbolism such as writing. The spells of sophistry that had us create our own enslavement were convincing, but we are the one who buy into the products of the mind others are selling. Why? Because just as these manipulative sorcerers are not aligning with reality, truth, and morality to not do evil, we are also not aligned with reality, truth, and morality to know how not to be deceived by evil, and we willingly walk onto the wrong path thinking we are doing right. This is the, quote, economy of consciousness, where masters of manipulation harness our universal constructibility energy and direct it along pre-selected avenues of false choice and control. It starts off in mandatory indoctrination centers for the youth, schools. This creates a false self-pattern attachment through impressions, impositions, and influence in society to integrate, quote, unite, and optimize survival. The program eventually becomes automated and self-directed towards the progression of the sorcerer's agenda. This is the mind control magic that exists in any language and communication about reality. Anyone can fool you if you let them. Learn. Evolve consciousness. Take the power of consciousness back by understanding reality to greater depths of clarity. Magic in etymology is to be able, to have power. It is a direction of energy, manifesting it in an ability or power. Sorcerers use their knowledge of reality to gain power over it and others. They use it in that ability. Use that power for that ability, for that goal, for that aim. Develop your power of consciousness and become a magician, someone that accurately understands reality and shares this understanding with others to help them navigate reality correctly as well. Sorcerers take their accurate understanding of reality and pervert it to manipulate others to their own selfish benefit. Magic is achieved through the power and ability of understanding reality. Language is the tool of the magicians. It goes, quote, dark when someone misconstrues the symbols referencing reality to create an unreality as though it were reality. This is the sorcery of manipulating our secondary subjective perception of reality through word symbols and the imagery they induce in consciousness, because that's what symbols do. When words are received, they create an image in our mind. Concepts create images in our mind. So when you speak and you create phrases that invoke images in people's minds, this creates a subjective reality that they then mirror as the objective reality, even though it may not be the objective reality. But because it was subjectively invoked as an image through the manipulation of language and word magic, now they have this image, and this image becomes their reality. That's how subtle the science of imagery is in the manipulation through words. Once you understand that, that's exactly what can be done. Last section, 3.7, the power of definition, master of a name. In the miniseries called Earthsea in 2004 that I watched many years ago, an aspect of magic is that of knowing the name of something is to be master of it. The main character sought to know the names of creatures in order to control and stop their evil with his magical abilities. In language magic, to know the true name, meaning and definition for an aspect of reality is to be master of it and not be subject to it under its power as a spell on your mind, cast in sorcery to mind control you. basic word symbol concepts are required to build more complex structures in our mind which represent reality, from the individual particular objects in reality to the common universals that link particulars together. If our conceptual blocks are falsely representing reality, it greatly affects the way we perceive and think of reality, and it affects our ability to navigate reality correctly. Why and how do we have this power to master things? Where did this idea come from? Humans have higher order consciousness capabilities. We have the capability to abstract and define particular aspects of reality. We have the power to assign meaning and purpose through definition. That is the power to recognize identity within the diversity, variability, and multiplicity of existence, universe, and reality. This is the power of logic, non-contradictory identification of reality. Everything in our reality operates within the law of logic. Everything is what it is and is not another. Is not another identity. Is not another, and that's identity and non-contradiction. There are no contradictions in the universe. This is the power we have to master a thing by knowing its true name, i.e. meaning. We have the power to identify specific meanings and purposes to provide a definition through symbols that reference reality. This is how we can come to manifest and understand, this is how we can come to master and, third time's a charm. This is how we can come to master an understanding of reality. Without the abstraction and inference of consciousness to decipher and derive, derivation, differentiation, deduction, and derive symbols from reality, there would simply be everything as one amalgamation, no difference, no different names to refer to different things. There would be no communication about anything. Those who first create the name, who first create the definition of meaning, seem to set the grounds for understanding reality within a specific referential framework, which is the language, the specific language. The power is gained from the correct knowledge of the meaning of a symbol, its definition. That enables mastery over the name, the symbol that represents reality. We look into etymology to find the true meaning of words. Knowledge is imbued and encoded in words. They are symbols about reality. Those who first created the symbols imbued them with specific meaning and definition. That was their original power. Over time, the true meaning gets altered and the power of the word is affected. We cannot know the true meaning, and we cannot be the master. When the word is altered, you can't know the true meaning and you can't be the master of the word because it's been altered and it's being used against you. Knowing the true name of a symbol is to know the true meaning and definition of its representation in reality. What it is, that symbol really represents about reality. What is it really saying? When we know that, then we have the power of the word symbol in our grasp, in our hands, in our possession, in ownership, in mastery. We become a master of the word symbol to reference reality accurately, master of the name, and in greater mastery of understanding reality. To accept an altered meaning of a word is to not use it in its original meaning and definition, in its original power as it was created and imbued with. That is where the sorcerer's spell is created, when we accept symbol references to objective reality that then create a subjective unreality, secondary reality, that prevents us from seeing the world as it really is. The symbols are arbitrary and can be anything to represent reality, but once a symbol is created, it is imbued with meaning. We can correctly or incorrectly understand reality and create symbols to represent something that is or is not, that does or doesn't exist, or should not exist like something evil or immoral. A circle does not represent a square. A square circle does not exist. Basic symbols have objective meaning in themselves with certain degrees of freedom of subjective meaning through imposition from the creator. Images in the mind that referenced reality can be referenced through symbols. The symbols themselves can also imitate the appearance of objects in reality. The more abstract the symbols, such as those of words, the more differential is the imitation displayed. That is to say, it looks less like an object in reality and more altered in form or shape, altered by our mind and created as a symbol. Those symbols that look most like something in reality, say a circle, can be likened to the sun, as it is the most important circle for life or other circular references we can correspond to other than the sun. That's why the basic symbols can have objective meaning other than the subjective degrees of freedom of meaning that the person who created the symbol with the specific meaning they imbued. You know, symbols can have an original meaning of something in reality other than what we give them. Like the letter O is a circle, well, it can mean the sun. That's what I'm talking about. Other qualities can be decoded from the circle in reference to reality. Basic symbols can combine to become sigils, more complex symbols. Basic shapes can be altered and distorted to create new shapes and symbols, such as letters. Just different shapes and they're twisted lines and they're just specific things to look like a specific symbol and they're given meaning. Languages are made of symbols of abstraction to represent reality. It is like the imagery of magic we have from fictional works where they create all these symbols and say some magical words and then give them special powers. And that gives them special powers. So I'm saying is a magical invocation. They put some symbols, you know, in these books and fictional works on TV, they put some symbols and they say some magical words and then they got some magical powers or something, or they invoke a demon or something like that. I'm not saying this doesn't exist. That's just not what I'm talking about here. I'm just making an allusion to that. Languages are made of symbols of abstraction to represent reality. So it's like the imagery of magic we have from the fictional work. They create symbols, magical words, and that gives them power. So I don't know if that aspect of reality is authentic or not, but it is definitely symbolic for the power of language itself, the regular symbols we use, yet this allegory from fiction escapes us. So I'm saying is the fiction describes how magic is the power to manipulate reality, and they have these symbols, and they use the symbols to manipulate themselves and give themselves power over reality. Well, that's what language is. It doesn't need to be magical in the way they use it. Language is already magic. That's my point. Mind is powerful. Words are powerful. Spells on mind are powerful mind control. With the magic of spells, words, you can get people to accept falsity as truth and get them to do what you want. One spell alone isn't much to alter our sense and understanding of reality, but in this secondary reality of our minds, many spells are a powerful sorcery magic to manipulate us. Learning the true meaning, etymology, of words in our language can empower us with a more accurate understanding of reality through how we communicate about it in our own self-dialogue and the dialogue we have with others. Accepting the definitions and stories from others can lead us down false paths. It is wise to verify the terms and definitions that form the various concepts we encounter. Otherwise, we are prone to be fooled, duped, conned, tricked, deceived, manipulated, hoodwinked, bamboozled, etc., and accept belief without substance. That is the end of part 3, Occulting and Encrypting Reality Through Word Magic. Thank you very much for your time and attention. Thank you for listening. I will be doing part 4 next. So have a nice day. Take care. Peace.